Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, he who resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of him who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is the servant of God to execute his wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For the same reason you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay all of them their dues, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due.
Thank you, Sharon, very much. Because of what is occurring this Tuesday in the United States, it is important enough that we address at least our role as Christians in the democratic process. Those who reside in Canada, the West Indies, the United Kingdom, or elsewhere, I do pray you will stay with us, for you as well at other times will also be involved in your own elections. This will not be about particular candidates, but how as free people we have the responsibility, the obligation to be intelligently involved. Such free elections have actually been very rare. For in fact, throughout history, the power and authority has overwhelmingly been the purview of a privileged few, or one absolute sovereign or tyrant. Even as democracy has advanced in the last century, still most of the world suffers various forms of despotism, petty dictators, oligarchies, one-party dictatorships, and then even forms of religious tyranny. We are singularly blessed that our votes are counted and that we can assert our wishes the more we rally to a particular cause. Again, what we say here is not partisan, but theological, not as much political as practical and necessary. So there will be no names given or nominees identified. Yet undoubtedly there will be those who are sure that some candidate has been mentioned favorably or unfavorably. My grandmother would actually rebroadcast a message that highlighted her feelings, and every time there would be repercussions. Someone would assert that she had blatantly supported a particular presidential candidate, even mentioning him by name. Of course, it was never the case. My grandmother's objective was to express the need for Christians to be involved in our elections, supporting those of moral courage, virtue, and character. And this is true even more today. And to remain a free people is only possible when that people are moral and of good character. So I ask that you hear clearly what I will say and not assume something is said which has not. Governing authorities, rulers, governments are, in the words of Paul, so instituted to provide a level of security and well-being that mankind may live, prosper, and be free to seek the one true and living God. That such governments will at times be wanting and become even worse should come as no surprise. After all, we are dealing with human beings. It is just because of such biblical insights that our nation was founded on this very premise, that humanity is fallen and imperfect, prone to self-centeredness, self-aggrandizement, and power was thus to be limited by a constitution of checks and balances, and dedicated to preserving life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Democracy is a very tenuous system. Its ancient birth in Athens ended by a vote of the people as they embraced dictatorship. It is why our founders established in Benjamin Franklin's immortal words, a republic, if you can keep it. And it is our obligation, more our sacred duty, to keep it. From Valley Forge, Gettysburg, Belleau Woods, D-Day, Iwo Jima, the Chosin Reservoir, to Bora Bora, courageous men and women even now have given their all to preserve this republic. And we owe them the effort to at least to be an informed and prepared electorate. The offerings on the ballot are not always what we might desire. The initiatives imperfect and the candidates a mixed bag. But when has there ever been a perfect candidate, one that will fulfill our every expectation and do all things just right? Often we will ignore some problem in a candidate for the sake of their stand on what we may consider more important. And that is what it usually comes down to, choosing between the imperfect. As Peter beseeches us, we are aliens and exiles, or sojourners and pilgrims in this world. As the hymn says, this world is not our home. So as he says, abstain from immorality, maintain good conduct. All our behavior should be above reproach, and we are to be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether emperor, governor, or obviously some assembly, prime minister, or president. We are, in his words, to live as free men and women, yet without using our freedom as a pretext for evil, but live as servants of God. This is not a call to seek some idealized society, pushing for or agitating for some idealistic hoped-for utopia, for such is simply not attainable by human effort, and certainly not by any government ever conceived. Nor does Peter speak of some pristine isolation with just our little Christian group, for we are meant to engage the world. We are to live as free people, free from sin, good examples, regardless of our circumstances. Our Lord's example is to be ours. Speak against abuse, unscriptural behavior, but always seeking God's will for each other. Obedient to the Father and what is His commandments, and all this should guide us in our obligations, our sacred duty to our republic. We have been told this is the most important election in our lifetimes, which is what has been said publicly of every presidential election since 1789, the first one. Yet in truth, the election of someone who will wield such influence and power in this world is always important. And thus, anyone who asks your help, just your vote, to achieve such a position of power in whose decisions will affect us in unimaginable ways must be a person of virtue and character. Surely, if one lacks virtue or character, it would disqualify that person from any form of leadership. Unfortunately, a candidate's true nature is often purposely hidden from our view, so it is vital to get to know them as much as is possible. Not relying on TV spots, sound bites, and glowing testimonials by sycophants. What do we know about their choices in life? Who have they associated with? How do they react to adversity, to real or perceived insults? What we are seeking is some insight in how they will base their decisions, their own sense of justice, courage, practical wisdom, and self-discipline. For I believe each of those virtues are necessary, and together with one's own sense of right and wrong, we call this one's character. We need people who have courage to do what is right, even if it may be unpopular, even dangerous. We need it tempered with practical wisdom, that is a wisdom born of experience, not just knowledge. We need one with a true sense of justice, that is fairness, and what is right as well as what is good. All this guarded by their own inner self-discipline. It is the difference in having a president who bemoans that he didn't know the leader of the Soviet Union lied to him, or that the North Koreans did as well, or one who would tell Premier Gorbachev plainly, sorry, we can't do business, and would later see the Soviet Union crumble. It is about not suffering the disclosure that a president of the United States had a dalliance with an intern, or another with an almost uncontrollable paranoia of the press. We need a leader who recognizes their own limitations and requires the best available people around them. Not sycophants, yes men, but those who tell the truth. Not a collection of nonentities, ideologues, and the political ambitious. We require and deserve better. We need someone who can provide the guidance for the conflict with unvarnished evil and unholy fervor that seeks our own destruction. Someone who would actually welcome the resurgence, a revival of conservative Christianity. One who is committed to the story that is America and believes the nation has always had the aspirations for good and can do so much more if the leadership is there. A leadership that can lift our desires for good, inspire us to be that city on the hill, and that we can again see an increase of freedom in our world. We need more than shallow rhetoric, negative political ads, and 20-second sound bites. We are in a cultural war, and we need leadership that knows that we are no longer the society of 40, even 20 years ago. We have become a sewer of immorality, rising illegitimacy, lessening restraints in speech, behavior, and dress, leading to an ever-deepening coarseness in our society. A leader that knows that all that is best in our society has been born of a Judeo-Christian underpinning that is deteriorating. Think of the hospital, colleges, child labor laws, care for the permanently infirmed and aged. Civil rights were all the results of this religious foundation. Yet there are those who would stop at nothing to foster upon our society a distorted and twisted brave new world, a secular society, and would sell out our heritage for a bowl of lentils, our birthright for promises of a utopia that can never be. For it is sectarianism, it is neo-paganism that has destroyed not just villages off somewhere else in the globe, but nations and continents, murdered not in the hundreds, but tens of millions. The truth is, and this a leader must know, a democratic republic to survive requires a people of moral character. Without virtue, self-government is not possible. A leader that will do what they can to halt this moral and spiritual erosion that eats at the very roots of our republic, which is why we are a divided nation on every front, like no time since 1860. What we need is to hear again such words as these: "It is impossible to rightly govern in the world without God and the Bible." George Washington. "The Bible is the cornerstone of liberty." Thomas Jefferson said that. "That book, the Bible, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests." Andrew Jackson. "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has given man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through that book." Abraham Lincoln. I could go on and on, but you get the point. It is about virtue and character. Abraham Lincoln is a prime example, castigated by many as being irreligious, but his life and writings show anything but. And his immovable leadership was indispensable in what was the most crucial crucible our republic has ever faced. Yet we had not too long ago a born-again Sunday school teacher who was so out of his depth and overwhelmed by the demands of the presidency that he was voted out by a landslide. We cannot afford more ineptitude or more stumblings by those overwhelmed by any office. It is not about lining your pockets or those of your friends, but encouraging the best and brightest to be the innovators that bring new creation and new prosperity. Just look at what has happened in technology and communication. It is not about placating or buying allies in the world or bending our national interests to fit the caprice of some other nation. This has no truth or lasting value, but to be forthright in what is best for the free markets and our liberty. It is not about shoring up some broken education system that fails our children, but of inspiring, providing quality education in a safe environment with innovative ideas, with or without the support of the teachers' union. We cannot lose more of our young minds to ignorance and illiteracy, with 50% of young men dropping out of too many high schools in our urban areas. It's not about black-robed judges legislating, but our elected legislators doing what they were elected to do. We need leaders, not cute photo ops and another speech. We need inspiration, a historical grounding in what has worked, will work, and it is not another government project and more spending. It is not about raising more money for the government just to spend. They do not spend well, but foolishly. We need to cut redundancy, the overly funded agencies, the junkets, the fancy perks, and endless political spin. We require virtue and character for our leaders. It is all too vital and too important. Oh Lord, as we go to the polls this week, let it be with hearts full of hope and expectation and a desire to see character and inspiration in our leadership. Lord, it is so necessary in this nation, which can be such an inspiration and model for the rest of the world. For that has been our role in the past and needs to be once again, that we can lead much of the world out of the morass and degradation and poverty that overwhelms so much of our globe. Lord, that is why it is necessary that we might lift the people of the world into a realm of hope and love of God. Let it be so that this kingdom on earth might be as the kingdom in heaven. All for your glory. Amen.
Hopefully, we in the United States will, with this election, choose men and women of virtue and character. Democratic republics have not always done so, but free people everywhere, which demands the involvement of all Christian, need to always be involved, seeking those of virtue and character to lead. With this frame of mind, V6J.